Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from our gracious Heavenly Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, who guards and keeps us in the one true faith. Amen. Everybody loves a good redemption story, right? Everybody loves a good redemption story. Some of the greatest stories of film and literature are stories of redemption. And it's easy for us to become engrossed in these stories and these characters as we see their ups and their downs, their triumphs and their struggles. And as we watch these characters, we become invested in them, right? And we become to see the story from their eyes. We see the story with their own motivations and their own struggles, and we see the story in a new light, right? We become invested in these stories. We weep at their distress, we revel in their victories, but nothing quite captures our hearts like seeing a character change their story through redemption. You know, there's something about these stories of redemption, where these stories where a bad guy changes his story to become a good guy, that just melts the heart. Right? Like, you can't help but smile when watching A Christmas Carol as Ebenezer Scrooge puts away his humbug ways and becomes like a second father to Tiny Tim, right? It's so good. For Harry Potter fans across the world, the name Severus Snape was redefined overnight as this character that we reviled, as this slimy villain redeemed himself and showed us what love can be as he became this unheralded hero, risking everything for the sake of love. There's something about a story of redemption that gets us deep. It gets down to our core. It moves us. They move us. They change us. They speak into our story. These stories speak into our story and our own need for redemption in our lives. And so this morning, as we continue in this series looking at stories, at different stories of conversion and different stories of faith through the book of Acts, we come to one of the greatest redemption stories of all time, the story of the Apostle Paul. Now, Paul wasn't always an apostle. As we read in the beginning of Acts chapter 9, we see that at the beginning, Paul really couldn't have been farther from an apostle, and yet God reached down into his story to make Paul his mighty instrument, to make his name known throughout the world to the nations. God had a plan for him. And I think for us, as we look at this story, I think it's important for us to reflect on Paul's story as it relates to our story. I think it speaks so powerfully into who we are in our lives of faith. It speaks so powerfully into our own story, I think, for two reasons. One, I think as we look at the story of Paul, we see that Jesus is real. Jesus is real in Paul's story and in our story. And I think the second thing, this story of Paul's conversion speaks so powerfully into our lives as we see that redemption is real. Jesus is real and redemption is real. And so as we look at Paul's story, I hope that we can see those two things. And if you want to follow along, we're going to kind of just read through Paul's story as we see it in Acts chapter 9. So you can turn in your pew Bible to page 917 if you want to follow along. And so we start here at the beginning. Paul, or Saul, as he is also known throughout Acts, was an enemy of the faith. Saul was an enemy of faith, arguably one of the greatest enemies of the faith. You see, he was a Jewish Pharisee who was an adamant follower of the Jewish traditions and rituals of his fathers, and he was so fierce in what he believed, that he was in fierce opposition and he was persecuting those new agitators in the world that called themselves Christians. Paul persecuted Christians. And so even as we look a couple chapters ahead in Acts chapter 7, we see that Paul, or Saul, is the one standing over and approving of the murder of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. as Stephen is standing before the chief priest and is being stoned to death, Paul is the one holding their cloaks and approving of this murder. But Stephen was far from the last of these horrific acts in Paul's story. At the beginning in Acts chapter 9, in our story of Paul, we see what kind of person this Paul or Saul is. So we read, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, those are Christians, men or women, he might bring them to Jerusalem. You see, Paul is a bad guy. Paul's the bad guy in the story. You know, when we look at these different stories that we watch, Paul is the stereotypical bad guy. He is rounding up these Christians. He is imprisoning them. He is killing them. Paul is a bad guy. You know, it's not as if Paul is just like a bully. A bully who's kind of being mean to some of the Christians. Paul is literally killing Christians. Paul's like the secret police. Paul's what we might call a terrorist today, trying to stamp out this Christian movement, approving of the murder of Christians. And so this is where Paul's story begins. We see that Paul is breathing out threats of murder against the Christians, and he goes to the city of Damascus with this very motive. He goes down to tear down this Christian church, to stamp out this movement and get things back to the way that they were before Jesus. But along his way, something happens. And we continue reading. As they're going along into Damascus, a light from heaven comes down and shines on Paul and blinds him, and he hears this voice, a voice that says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he responds, Who are you, Lord? And the voice says, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. And so on the road to Damascus, Paul encounters the risen Jesus. The very same Jesus that these Christians are following and so adamantly proclaiming in the streets. The very same Jesus that he is so zealously trying to silence. And after this encounter, for 3 days, Paul stays in the city, blind. He doesn't eat. He doesn't drink. As Paul is sitting there, he prays and he's receiving a vision from the Lord about this man named Ananias that's going to come to him. But before all that happens, I think it's pretty fitting that Paul is sitting there in utter darkness, that he is experiencing really almost death, just as our Lord Jesus experienced death for 3 days before rising to new life on Easter. And that same life soon becomes Paul's. As we see, 3 days later, after this encounter with Jesus, Ananias, the disciple of the Lord, comes to him. And Ananias didn't really want to, and I can't say that I blame him. You know, I can't say that I really blame him. He was coming to a guy that he knew was a murderous Pharisee. You know, so he had some some misgivings about coming to see this man, Paul. But he goes anyways, and God convinces him that this is what he's supposed to do. The Lord convinces him, and we continue on in Acts chapter 9, verse 17. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he, Paul, rose and was baptized. And taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, And immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." And all who heard him were amazed and said, "Is this not the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called on this name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. Whoa. It's quite a story. Now, I have to admit, my own story is a little simpler than that one. I didn't have any blindings. I didn't have any voices from heaven. I didn't see the risen Jesus before me. But that's okay. We all have a different story. And the story of the Apostle Paul, I think, is so powerful because it speaks powerfully into our story. As I reflect on Paul and his story of faith, one of the things I think is so resoundingly proclaimed is that Jesus is real, and his resurrection is real, and he can change your story. You know, I think for me, as I reflect on my life and think about my life of faith, it's easy 2,000 years after the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus to begin to question things and say, is all of this Jesus stuff real? Is all of this Jesus stuff true? Is this really how I'm supposed to live my life? And I know and I've experienced things in my story, but sometimes it's easy to question it, being so far removed. But I think the story of Paul is so cool because it can give us confidence in who we know Jesus is and what he has done for us in his work on the cross. Indeed, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then our life of faith is in vain. It all hinges on the truth of his life and his death and his resurrection. This story of Paul, I think, shows us that it's true. The resurrection of Jesus is real. The fact that Paul, the most fervent adversary of Jesus Christ in the first century, becomes a Christian, I think is one of the most compelling reasons for us to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Because it really is the only explanation to make sense of Paul's story. How could this man, who was the fierce enemy of the church, change overnight, complete about face, 180 change, to become not only a believer, but the greatest missionary and proclaimer of the gospel this world has ever seen? The only explanation is that Paul saw something on that road to Damascus. Paul saw Jesus. Paul saw the risen Jesus Christ. And Jesus came down into Paul's story and changed his life. Because Jesus had plans for Paul. Plans to turn his greatest enemy into his greatest ally. And I think looking at Paul's story can give us confidence in our story. It gives us sound and compelling ground for us to stand on when talking about our salvation and Jesus Christ that is our hope and our salvation. But I think more than that, I think the story of Paul speaks powerfully into our stories as well because it gives us a certain hope. Paul's story gives me hope. See, Paul in his letter that he wrote to Timothy, his first letter, he used these words to describe himself. "I am the chief among sinners." That's what Paul says about himself. And as I read Acts chapter 9, I can't quite disagree with him. Like, Paul is a bad guy. Paul is a guy that is literally committing murder of God's people. As I see the life of Paul, I see someone who is about as far gone as a person can be. And yet this very same Paul not only finds life and salvation and forgiveness in Jesus, but he's a person that is used by God to make his name known to the nations. In Paul's story, we can see that redemption in Jesus is real. If even Paul can find grace and forgiveness in Jesus, there is no one that is too far gone, that is too far out of reach for forgiveness in Jesus. These are Paul's words in Romans chapter 8. Paul writes these words, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Paul's story is a beacon of hope. Paul's story is a beacon of hope for all people to tell us that God's love for you is real. And there's nothing that you can do to put it out of your reach. Redemption in the blood of Jesus Christ is real and is for all people. Each of us have a story. And each of our stories, just like Paul's, is a story of redemption. A beautiful story where God makes us his own. And we can look at the redemption in the story of Paul and be bolstered in our hope and be bolstered in our confidence in the resurrection, but we can also see in his story a bit of our own story. Each one of us have a story where we began as enemies of God, where in our sin we were in opposition to God. And yet by faith, through the work of the Spirit, through the waters of holy baptism, God changes your story and makes you his beloved child. We go from being enemies to children. We go from being the bad guys to the good guys in our story. Because the good guy, Jesus, died for us on the cross and made us his own. To that I say, all praise and thanksgiving to our God and a Redeemer who has bought us and redeemed us and brought us out of darkness and into his light, as he has done for our brother Paul before us. In Jesus' name, amen.